Blog Talk Radio.
He missed! Step up now! Look at him! He missed! And he hit one! They got us! Indiana got us!
Oh! Oladipo! Ha-ha!
Friedel all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a three!
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana, yeah, we do it big. Boston on the big stand, you know what it is. Cause this is IU, you, you. This is IU, you, you. We got papers on the wall, and this is how we fall. Talking about the Hoosiers, talking about the Hoosiers.
Unlike you other schools, we got history true. Kinda like your girl does when she visits us.
And welcome, IU fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as Indiana tonight absolutely obliterated Purdue in West Lafayette, 97-60. This is a game where I honestly thought about starting the postgame show with about 4 minutes left in the first half. That's how thorough Indiana dominated this game. The Hoosiers led 47-27 at halftime, outscored Purdue then 50-33 in the second half, and this was just complete domination. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Indiana just flat out dominated Purdue. They won their fourth Big Ten road game. And if we kind of start breaking this game down, you know, look at a banner moment. For me, that's it. I mean, you know, for the longest time through Tom Crean's first 3-4 years, winning on the road was such a problem for this team. And now, you know, sure, it's been against some of the bottom feeders of the conference, but road wins are road wins. And a win like this, 37 points, I know Purdue's a little bit down, they're younger, but they've beaten some decent teams. They've been playing a little bit better, and to go do this, especially coming off of the Michigan State game with the huge matchup coming against Michigan on Saturday, to be as focused as Indiana was tonight and to play as well as a team just on both ends of the floor, in every aspect of the game, this was just a terrific job by the Hoosiers, a convincing win, and one that we will break down here for about the next 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll talk about Michigan and start previewing that epic battle between the two teams that are atop the conference. With that said, I want to bring in my two co-hosts, Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips, and get their thoughts on the game, and we will start with Andy and his Bottoms line.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it was really the defense in the first half. There's probably a lot of things we could point to, or we could just spend time trying to come up with adjectives to describe the beating. But for me, it was really the defense in the first half. I mean, they forced a lot of turnovers. I don't have the exact numbers, but really seemed like an area where if IU is as good defensively as we feel like they can be, it was a game where they really needed to take advantage of, you know, a team with a freshman point guard and a team that really hadn't taken great care of the basketball over the course of the season. But they really did that. Some of the turnovers were unforced, but some of them were the direct result of, you know, a lot of defensive pressure. And that really offset the fact that, you know, despite the fact IU scored 47 points in the first half, they really didn't shoot the ball all that well, but got a lot of easy baskets in transition, continued to be aggressive and attacking the basket. So I thought that really set the tone. And then even early in the second half, it was a little bit sluggish, but, you know, the defense played well enough to kind of keep it where it felt like they didn't play that well. You're 8 minutes into the half and the lead was still 20. So for me, it was a defensive effort. And obviously, other than struggling a little bit with A.J. Hammonds inside, nobody really, you know, got off to a good shot. And a number of the plays that Purdue made in the first half were ones with the shot clock running down where it really wasn't a great shot. They just happened to go in.
All right, now we'll go over to Ryan, and actually in lieu of a comment tonight, Ryan has asked just that I play a sound bite, so I will respect his wishes.
Excuse me.
Okay, then I quit as your son.
Okay, there you go, Ryan. Now, what did you really want to say?
No, that's pretty much all I have to say, is that it's directed at you. And, really, the best part, and Jeff Rabjohn just tweeted this out, and it was what I was going to talk about, but since Cody Zeller came to IU, the Hoosiers are 3-0 against Purdue, and their wins have been by 17, 11, and now 37 points. I thought Cody played well tonight. I thought it was a great bounce-back game after two really subpar games where, you know, he did the little things at times against Michigan State, and especially late in the game, but, you know, was invisible on offense at times also and just got pushed around a lot. And tonight, you know, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 7 of those were offensive rebounds. He had putbacks. He was involved, you know, chasing down balls, running the floor, doing everything that he does. That separates him from other players. He also had two assists and two steals. So I thought he really set the tone early for the whole roster and got, you know, really was effective and aggressive and was there on defense and rebounding all night. And that's where we're definitely going to need him against Michigan. He's got to play a 40-minute game. So I thought it was really encouraging tonight to see him, even in a blowout, be as involved as he was on offense.
Yeah, I mean, all the starters were great. You know, I mean, all the starters were in double figures. You know, Cody with 19, Christian with 17, Victor 17, Yogi with 11. He really got hot there in the second half. You know, Jordan Hulls, he had 10 points, only 3 of 10 shooting. You know, I guess really the only guy out of the starters that didn't have a great night. For me, probably the best, I mean, in addition to the starters' play, you know, what I was really impressed with, especially in the first half, was the bench. You know, in the first half, 4 bench players played, and they all scored at least one bucket. And we know how much of a struggle it's been to get points off the bench. But Will, Remy, Derek Elfman, it was nice to see him back out there, and Jeremy Holloway, all those guys played in the first half and did a nice job. I thought Holloway had a couple nice plays. He had a few blocks. Will, in particular, you know, he only scored 7 points tonight, but he had 7 assists. You know, was really active, agitated the Purdue crowd, which is always nice to see. You know, I thought Remy, who really – kind of had his coming out party against Michigan or against Purdue last year. He had a solid game, 6 points, 5 boards, you know, the best we've seen him play in a while. And, of course, just seeing Elson out there at all is great, but to see him come out and be productive with 5 points was really nice. Andy, any thoughts on the bench in general, or is it just kind of in general nice to see, you know, nice to see us finally get some production from what was supposedly a deep bench hasn't been, and maybe this will be kind of a springboard for them living up to that potential?
Yeah, hopefully it can be. I think, you know, Sheehy's turned in a couple of good performances in a row, you know, with 7 assists tonight. In total, the bench had 11 assists and 1 turnover, at least if what I'm looking at is correct. So, you know, doing a really good job. And I think that's pretty telling. I mean, you don't need a lot of those guys to come in and score points. So I don't think we can judge the quality of their play based on how many points they scored. I mean, tonight I think they had 23 points total off the bench based on my quick math here, and that's great. But I think you look at some of those guys, and if they're in there making the right pass, making the right play, grabbing a few rebounds, I think that's really what's needed. And that was something that Hollowell, in the first half at least, you know, made those couple nice defensive plays, didn't force the action offensively, just came in and did the little things. And I think that's what they all need to do. And, you know, Elston's a guy that I think they've really missed more than probably people would anticipate so far this season, but I think he's a guy that gives them somebody who can step out and knock down a shot, gives you somebody who can at least, you know, lay some fouls on people, which he did tonight, 4 fouls in 7 minutes. But just a veteran guy that you can put in that front court where you can see that there's times where Kareem doesn't really, you know, trust Perea and trust Hollowell in some of these tight situations. And so getting them experience tonight was good, but I think that Elfman's a guy they probably missed a little bit with the knee injuries more, and I think it's a good sign to see him be able to come out, play a little bit in 2 straight games, which is the first for him for a while, and, you know, hopefully he can build on that. And it's not a case where, you know, they need to get major minutes, but you can steal, you know, 8-10 minutes with guys like that. That's pretty big. So I thought overall a really good performance, and, you know, Sheehy's one that gets a lot of the attention, and I think rightfully so, played a really strong game tonight. You know, other than the 1-3 that I'm sure Ryan and I both cringed about, I thought he was really good, made nice cuts. He and Victor worked a lot of, you know, 2-man plays where he really set him up nicely, and I thought overall he was really, really good.
Well, Ryan, certainly if you'd like to chime in with some thoughts on Will Sheehy, do so. But I also want to just take a minute real quick and recognize Christian Wofford, who's gone from kind of that X-factor guy that you don't really know what he's going to bring to Mr. Consistency. I mean, the last time that he was held under double digits was the Butler game. He had 9 points. Every single game since then, he's had at least double digit scoring. He's grabbing rebounds. He's in there grabbing 5, 6, 7 rebounds a game. And he's being especially aggressive early. And this is a theme that we've touched on for the last couple games, but he continues to do it. And, you know, he's getting lost in the shuffle a little bit because of Zeller and because of the emergence of Oladipo, who's become a national star. And Yogi's kind of the young, new, exciting guy. And then you got, you know, Will off the bench with all his energy. And all Christian's doing is, you know, he's the active leading scorer in the Big Ten. And he's become a guy that this team can really count on as a senior. We said early in the season that for this team to be great instead of just good, it needed Christian Wofford. And now, you know, Indiana's starting to put together some performances like this one tonight, which was a great performance, and Wofford's a huge part of that.
Yeah, I think that he's just being really efficient over the last couple weeks. I mean, he's cutting down on his 3-point attempts, but he's taking them, you know, when they're there. And, you know, tonight he was 4 of 5 and he had 17 points and 4 boards, an assist and a steal, only 1 turnover. And he was only 5 of 7 from the field. And when you're 5 of 7 from the field and finish with 17 points, that's a fantastic night. Just really efficient. And he's really picking his spots. And it makes IU so difficult to guard when you've got a guy like Oladipo who, yeah, he can hit a 3, but let's face it, where he's dangerous is driving. Teams are going to give him 3-pointers as the season goes on, I still think. I mean, I know he can hit it, but I think that, you know, they're much more concerned about him driving and finishing at the hoop, and he's proven he can do that so well. And so I think that with that, when you've got Wofford and Halls out on the perimeter, and then again, Wofford, teams are going to close out to his 3-point shot because obviously that's, you know, what he's known for. And if he can drive in and finish and maybe, you know, score in that 5 to 10 foot range like he's been doing lately, that just makes the offense so much more dangerous. And you've been seeing that over the last couple weeks that he's been playing consistently. It's really changed the nature of the offense. And so having him be consistent when he was the ultimate, you know, not consistent guy last year is really an indicator. I think it's an indicator if he's starting to understand how good he is and how good he can be. And that's a real positive for the team moving forward.
Andy, you know, as you look kind of across the nation and understand, you know, how good some of these teams are at the top, you know, with some of the performance Indiana is getting now from Christian Wofford, who's being consistent, now you've got Yogi Ferrell, who's shooting it better. I mean, you know, how good can this Indiana team be with all of these kind of, you know, with everything clicking on all cylinders like it seemingly is right now?
Well, I think, you know, you look at somebody like him who's shown he's been able to have big games. I mean, he's at best the third option for IU right now. I think that speaks a lot. And I think when, you know, Zeller gets rolling like he does tonight, it just causes, you know, so much more attention in the post and really opens up shots for Wofford on the outside. And the other thing I thought he did a really nice job of tonight was if he tried to pick his spot based on, you know, the matchup. So he went inside on Tyrone when Tyrone Johnson was on him and got a layup when, you know, Johnson tried to flop, but he also, you know, got some threes in transition and off a, you know, good ball reversal and movement. And I thought that was something I did a really good job of tonight is, you know, moving things around. And the open guys are going to take shots. They were really unselfish, and I guess that's somewhat easy to do when you're up by a lot. But I thought he did a nice job of scoring in different ways. I mean, he hit 4 threes, but he also was pretty active on the glass and made some nice plays inside as well. So, I think it, you know, getting consistent, you know, 12, 14 points out of him every night really, you know, gives the team another dimension because he is somebody who can be, you know, a matchup problem for people. So Purdue is a team that doesn't have a lot of great height. So, you know, they play essentially, you know, 4 guards or, you know, whatever you want to consider DJ Bird to be. But, you know, it was a case tonight where he was able to do different things and kind of use his height at times and take it inside and also score outside. So I think it really is that diversity and his ability to score in multiple ways is pretty tough to beat, and it allows the team to adjust a little bit depending on what the opponent's doing and how they're guarding IU.
You know, we talked after the Penn State game about how important this three-game stretch was for Indiana in terms of positioning itself for a Big Ten title, because obviously we had Michigan State at home at Purdue and then this game coming up against Michigan. And it's really important, obviously, with tough road games against Michigan State and Michigan coming up, to take care of business at home and then to take care of business against a team like Purdue that, look, I think some of us were a little bit nervous about this game, you know, whether just because it's a rivalry game, whether Indiana would be, you know, maybe looking past Purdue with the Michigan game coming up. I know, Andy, you know, you didn't even think Indiana would cover the spread. You thought they'd win by about 6 points. And, you know, here we are looking at, what was it, a 37-point victory.
I meant 36, to be fair. I just forgot to play that part.
Sorry, it was a typo. So now we head into this Michigan game. We've taken care of business, winning those two games, and now we're set up for, you know, what is, I don't think there's been a bigger game in the country all year. College game day is going to be there. We know Assembly Hall will be rocking. I mean, this is for control of the Big Ten regular season here, early control of it. And you have to be feeling good about where Indiana is. So before we get to Michigan, because I don't think there's a whole lot else to say about this Purdue game, I know Ryan has one note that he wants to say just to kind of put a bow on this IU victory over Purdue, and then let's look ahead to Michigan.
Yeah. Mackey Arena opened December 2nd, 1967, and until tonight, the biggest margin of defeat for Purdue, the largest margin of defeat, was 21 points against Illinois. IU just obliterated that record tonight with a 37-point win. So, a little bit of history tonight. Yeah, I was going to tell you. I was going to tell you to play that again.
No, that's beautiful. I mean, and what else can you say? That's the perfect way to end this game, and that's as thoroughly as I've seen Indiana beat Purdue on the road. It's as thoroughly as I've seen Purdue lose at home, and they just, they were kind of listless in that second half. I mean, I know Hammonds, he obviously had 30 points, and he had himself a nice little second half there. But I mean, this game was over at halftime, and Purdue really didn't do a whole lot in the second half to really make it competitive at all. And so in Michigan tonight, they dominated at home against Northwestern. And now these two teams, that have been on a collision course since the Big Ten season started, here they are, both with one loss, coming into Assembly Hall. Andy, I'll go to you first. Let's get a scouting report. How good is this Michigan team, and what are the biggest issues that they're going to present for Indiana on Saturday?
Well, I think, they've been as efficient as anybody offensively. I mean, they're number one in adjusted efficiency right now. And, they've been just unbelievable on offense. You have Trey Burke, obviously everybody got to see last year. But, they've been able to integrate a lot of players pretty seamlessly into the rotation this year. So you got Glenn Robinson III. Nick Stauskas is one of the better shooters in the country. Mitch McGarry was his recruiting rating dropped off a little bit coming into the season, but he's been a really good guy off the bench. He's a great rebounder and somebody IU's really going to have to keep off the glass. And so those guys have really, integrated pretty seamlessly with everybody else. So you've still got Burke. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a lot better than he was last year, just not forcing the action as much. Maybe that's because there's more talent around him, but, he's played world better than he did, a season ago. So, he's really stepped up. And then, Jordan Morgan's, given him some good things inside, although he hurt his ankle a couple games ago, and I didn't watch much of that game, so I don't know if he played at all tonight, but I'm going to assume that he'll be out there. So, a little bit like IU in the sense they've got a lot of different guys that can score. Burke is really the catalyst and, arguably the best point guard in the country at this point. So, I think that they're really strong offensively, and I think the one issue where they really present is their size. So Burke's a 6-foot guy, but they play a number of wing players, which is pretty similar to what John Beilein has done the majority of his career, where they've got one big guy and then they kind of play a bunch of wing players around him. Hardaway's 6'6", Robinson's 6'6", Stauskas is 6'6". So I think you're going to find it almost turns into another game similar to Michigan State where, how does IU handle that defensively? Do you try to put holes on some of these guys? And Stauskas, I think people felt like initially may have been someone who, would linger around the three-point line, which I guess I might be inclined to do if I was a 49% three-point shooter as well. But he can take guys off the dribble and do some different things. So I think that becomes definitely a challenge and kind of something to watch, to see what IU does. The zone, for whatever anybody thinks that is another option, but unfortunately Michigan shoots almost 40% from three-point range. So I'm not sure you want to bait them into that, but they also shoot really, they're third nationally, at least coming in tonight, in two-point shooting percentage. So they're just a really explosive offensive team, and for, as great as IU's defense has been at times, this will certainly be the biggest challenge for them on the offensive end. So that'll be big. I think on the flip side of that, defensively, they're 35th in adjusted defensive efficiency. I think that's bolstered a little bit by some of their non-conference games and, conference-wise, they're middle of the pack, I would say, at least heading tonight. So, they don't foul, which is something that, IU's done a really good job of getting people in foul trouble as they did tonight, getting to the line. Be interesting to see if that holds true, in Bloomington, the home crowd, and any kind of advantage there. But they've been adequate defensively. I don't think they're great defensively, and I think probably could lead to a pretty high scoring and entertaining game. Although Michigan, from a pace standpoint, would like to keep it a little bit slower than IU would, but it will be a great game. I think with two of the better offenses in the country, it may be the two best. So it should be pretty fun to watch.
You know, Ryan, we just had a big game for Indiana at home against Michigan State on national TV against a team that had size down low. And, as we know, as we discussed, Cody Zeller really struggled. I mean, he stepped up, in winning time and made those big plays late, but he was, essentially a non-factor for most of that game and really played pretty poorly on defense. Is he ready for this game? I mean, obviously he played really well tonight, which makes you feel a little bit better, but which Cody Zeller do you think we're going to see on Saturday? The one that we saw against Michigan State or closer to the one that we saw tonight against Purdue?
But I really hope it's the one we saw against Purdue. But really, it's hard to tell because Cody, I think it's a personality thing where he's kind of doesn't force the action and he doesn't insert himself into the action all the time. And he needs to do that from the drop of the ball. He's got to get in there quickly and be effective if IU is going to take, a team like Michigan on. And so I think that really I certainly hope it's going to be, bolstered by the home crowd. I hope he's going to be the guy that we all know he can be, but you never know. And they have some size and do some things that could give him trouble, but with the momentum off of this Purdue game, I just hope that he is up to the challenge. And we all know he's capable of it. It's just whether or not he comes out and demands the ball and gets himself into good position and is willing to attack the basket from there.
Andy, you mentioned, how good Trey Burke is, and we all know how good he is. I mean, he's probably the front runner for Big Ten Player of the Year right now, one of the guys up for National Player of the Year. He's a terrific player and a guy who really makes Michigan go. And years past, Indiana would basically have no chance at all against a guy like that. But now we have Yogi Ferrell, who has shown himself to be an excellent defender. Assess that matchup a little bit when Michigan has the ball. Can Yogi, at this stage in his career, can he defend Trey Burke? Can he, help kind of neutralize him? Or is this a case where, Burke is so good, he's just going to get his, you have to limit other guys? Or can Yogi be enough of a pest on defense that he can really kind of interfere with what Michigan wants to do offensively, starting with Burke?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can try to be a little bit disruptive. I mean, Aaron Kraft did a nice job against Burke in Michigan's lone loss of the season. Burke ended up with 15 points, so he's 4 of 13 shooting. So I think you got to make him take tougher shots, not give him anything going to the rim, because he's a really effective penetrator, and he finishes really well for a guy who's not that big, once he gets down low. So, but he's also a good three-point shooter, so I think, you try to force him into, taking long twos and things like that. And I think what Yogi can't get into is making it feel like it's a competition and really trying to outplay him one-on-one and trying to do too much. I think if he can, hold his own defensively and keep Burke to, 12, maybe 15 points and, maybe just a few assists, I think that's decent. I think he can't let it turn into a game where he ends up taking a lot of shots and trying to kind of outplay him in a one-on-one scenario and let other guys help defensively, but I think he just really needs to, you know, get into him outside, not give him any open looks, but also, you know, try to shut off any driving lanes and make him settle for, you know, two-point jumpers and things like that, because, you know, he's really talented. I think the biggest thing for Yogi is going to be not to get too amped up and make turnovers that he doesn't need to. And I thought he did a good job of that tonight. I mean, only 8 turnovers to the team as a whole, and I thought he played really under control there. So I think that's going to be the key, and certainly, you know, a case where he can't be overly aggressive defensively either and get himself into foul trouble, because, you know, Remy played better tonight, and I think maybe there's some things you can do there. But, you know, he really, based again on Michigan's size, is the guy who really has to play Burke quite a bit, I think, for IU to be at its best defensively. So definitely should be a good matchup. I think a good, you know, good test for him, and, you know, I think it'll be one that he hopefully steps up and accepts.
Who would you say is Michigan's X factor guy? I mean, for people who haven't seen Michigan play a lot, I mean, you know, who's the guy that if he gets going, you know, Indiana fans should say, uh-oh, or are they just so balanced that there isn't really one guy that you can look at like that?
I mean, I think Hardaway is always a guy who's kind of a key for them. I mean, definitely more of the case last year. I mean, the games when he struggled last year, they were really not good. I think a guy, you know, again, you kind of look back, they've only lost one game, so maybe you look at the blueprint from that and see what you can take away from it. I think Stauskas is a pretty important guy. He ended up with no points in that game against Ohio State, and I think that's, you know, pretty important. They only let him get 3 shots off. So I think that's a guy where, again, a lot of it depends on the defense. How do you try to take him away big enough where he can shoot over somebody smaller, but also can play a little bit inside. So I think he's one where, you know, you have a fairly good idea what you're going to get night in, night out from Burke and Hardaway based on the way that they've played this year. You know, Robinson's not a guy that scores a ton. He's, I don't want to say a glue guy. I mean, he's really athletic, a good defender, just does a lot of different things well. And you kind of know what you're going to get from some of those guys. I think Stauskas maybe is the guy who really could swing things one way or another. You know, if he gets hot from deep and IU really has to adjust and, you know, shoots him out of the zone or whatever the case might be, I think he's the one that I kind of point to of a freshman guy going into that kind of environment. How does he react to that? And really kind of their third road test of any note, you know, between having gone to Minnesota, going to Ohio State, and then now to IU. Their other Big Ten road game has been against Northwestern. So not a lot to take away from that. So I think he probably is a guy in that scenario where he gets hot, probably makes IU do some things maybe they don't want to defensively, or try to, you know, work around that, slow him down. Whereas if he gets cold, that's another guy that maybe takes an important score away from Michigan.
So, I mean, as you look at this game, Andy, I know you haven't written your preview yet and you haven't offered up your prediction, but, you know, is this a game that at home in Assembly Hall that Indiana fans should be expecting to win?
I mean, I guess probably to the extent that I think fans have expected to win all the home games this year, I would probably say yes. I think the teams are really evenly matched. I think the difference has to be a good performance from Zeller, because I'm not sure that, you know, Michigan doesn't foul a whole lot and all those kinds of things, but I think you really have to put pressure on them inside defensively. They don't have a lot of big guys. They don't use their big guys a lot on offense either. But they're a team that plays a little bit smaller lineup, like I said, so you got to try to punish them for that a little bit. And that was certainly something that IU did tonight when Hammonds was out of the game in particular. They really went to Zeller a lot, and there really wasn't an answer there. So I think that's an advantage they really have to exploit. And then, you know, continuing to be aggressive and taking the ball to the basket, as IU's done, you know, so much this season. Their free throw rate's, you know, high for a reason, and they've done a good job there. You know, Michigan, on the other hand, doesn't foul or doesn't want to foul. I think continuing to put pressure on those guys, you get one of the key, you know, outside shooters from Michigan in foul trouble, whether that's Stauskas, whether that's Hardaway. However, you know, Michigan wants to try to defend Victor. I think that can be pretty important. So I think, you know, those are at least a couple things that hopefully swing the game in IU's favor. It's definitely a close game, but, I mean, looking ahead, it's one I'll predict IU to win, because I really can't see myself picking against them at home. But certainly, you know, not one that will be a cakewalk by any means.
You know, I got to say, I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago I was a little bit nervous about this game, you know, seeing it kind of looming on the schedule. You know, but after how Indiana played against Michigan State and certainly how they played tonight, I'm definitely feeling a lot better about it. I mean, Ryan, just kind of your gut feeling,
about this game? Is this a game that, you know, that as Saturday approaches that you're feeling confident about? Or you know, is it one that you're kind of, you know, that you're excessively nervous about?
I'm confident about it. I think that IU can win. I feel like they, you know, the team will win. But if they don't, I also don't think it's the end of the world because of Michigan's really good, and we play them again at the end of the year. But this is a game that, you know, if you're going to contend for a national title, you got to win this kind of game. And in March, they're going to have to win this kind of game, and especially in April. And so my gut feeling is, yeah, I think they're going to win the game, and I'm confident that they're going to win the game. If they don't, we'll talk about their performance and break it down and decide, you know, what we think of it. But for now, I think this team is playing very well, and especially on the defensive end, which is the most important part, because we know they can score. That's not even a question. So the defense has really stepped up over the last few games, and that's incredibly important as the season, you know, heads into its second half.
All right, well, with that said, Ryan, let's go to some final thoughts here as we, you know, look ahead to Michigan and maybe put a little bow on what, again, was a great win tonight. We spent a lot of time talking about Michigan here, but, you know, let's not forget the fact that tonight Indiana went up to West Lafayette to our arch rivals and put a 37-point pounding on Purdue, the biggest loss in Mackey Arena history. Makes for a pretty happy night for IU fans. Ryan, you can kick us off with final thoughts, and we'll go over to Andy.
I've been doing this a lot lately, but I just think I want to remind people to take a look at the standings. And IU is number 3 in the nation, 19-2, and 7-1 in the Big Ten, and has in the first in coming into tonight or coming into this year in the Tom Crean era, they had 4 road wins in the Big Ten, and now they're 4-0 this year in the Big Ten. So it's just another example of where this program is coming from, where it was, and you can't help but be happy with the progress of everything that's going on in Indiana basketball right now.
Yep, agree. Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same place. I mean, this is a game that I, you know, obviously, you know, wrote a preview that predicted a pretty close final score, and one that, while on paper it feels like one that IU should have won and you know, clearly had a talent advantage, experience, all those kinds of things, was one where had they went in and lost, I mean, obviously would have been disappointed, but would have kind of said, you know, it's a tough place to play. A Purdue team that's gotten a lot better over the, you know, the course of, you know, the last few weeks, and, you know, one where you fully expected a close game, at least I did, and they just came out and destroyed them. And, you know, I thought they came out with a good game plan, tried to get Cody involved really early. And I think, you know, just in general, played such a strong game. Again, defensively was really good. And I think, you know, while the beginning of the second half didn't really provide a lot of movement one way or another in the point, in the, you know, in the margin, got to be a stretch kind of around that middle 4 minutes of the second half where the team really took control and kind of, you know, crushed any chance or any belief that Purdue might be able to come back. And I think, you know, Ryan and I both tweeted out toward halftime around then that it was a chance to kind of see growth from the team in terms of how they responded to a big lead and what they came out and did. And I think that was a positive sign. And, you know, that's now 4 road wins on the season, and I think 6 out of the last 7 Big Ten games. So you can point to the competition and say whatever you want, but it's still a tough league and a tough place to play. And there's something to be said for a team, you know, kind of learning to win those games. And, you know, maybe that points to they're going to win a game on the road over the course of the rest of the season that maybe when we set out at the beginning of the year, we wouldn't have expected to. So hopefully that'll be forthcoming, but not until they pick up another good home win against Michigan on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it does seem a little bit, I mean, as successful as this season's been, 19-2 and 7-1 in the Big Ten, that there has almost kind of been, you know, since that Butler game, a little undercurrent of dissatisfaction, you know, that we lost to Butler, that we lost to Wisconsin. You know, the Cody Zeller hasn't just dominated and put up these monster numbers and, you know, this, that, and the other issue. I mean, obviously everybody's happy, you know, but it almost seems like, you know, last year when the record wasn't as good, people were, you know, they seemed a little bit happier, like everything was a little more positive. And this year, you know, some of those negatives feel a little bit accentuated. And tonight's a good night to just, you know, take some joy in what's going on right now. You know, I mean, this 37-point victory over Purdue, you know, like Ryan said, I mean, for the 4 road wins in the Big Ten, matching what this program had done over the previous 4 years, you know, things are really, really good. And it's a sign of where this program is at. that there can be that small undercurrent of dissatisfaction when the team's 19-2 and tied for first place in the Big Ten. You know, but hey, it's all everything in this season so far has led up to this game on Saturday. You know, it's two of the top teams in the country. College Game Day's back. It's going to be a nice showcase game for Assembly Hall, which of course will be rocking and going crazy. And it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see what happens. I'll be watching from a bar in New Orleans somewhere. And actually, and just in terms of a scheduling note, we're not sure yet if we're going to be able to have a show Saturday after the game. We'll have to see. We have a whole bunch of scheduling conflicts that just kind of piled on each other. And the 49ers making the Super Bowl has taken me out of commission since I'll be up there. So we'll see. If we can make it happen, we will. If we can't, then we'll, you know, review the action maybe Monday night or Tuesday, something like that, do a special edition and talk about the game. But either way, you know, watch that game and enjoy it. I mean, it's as big an IU Michigan game as there has been since the early 90s. I was in Assembly Hall for those games, and the Fab Five came in, and that was, you know, as electric as I've felt Assembly Hall personally being there. And it's going to be like that again on Saturday, because this is the first just real huge epic game. You know, the North Carolina game kind of felt like that, but you know, obviously that game was over pretty early. I think it's going to be a competitive game all the way through, and it's for control of the Big Ten. And it's a really big opportunity for Indiana to assert itself as the alpha dog in the conference, you know, as February begins, and to position itself to be able to make that run through the schedule later in the season, which is going to get tougher. But either way, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think based on how Indiana played tonight, beating Purdue by 37, again, by 37, what a win. You have to feel good about Indiana's chances, and we'll see on Saturday what they can do. So, again, we will let you know if there's going to be a show. But either way, enjoy the game, and hopefully it's an IU winner, and we will talk to you again soon. But for tonight, just go enjoy this awesome win over Purdue.